Michael walked around the control room. He ran his finger along the dust-free tops of desks, his eyes entranced by the amazing array of colored lights that flickered ceaselessly across the dozens of comp consoles. He'd noticed the dark green double doors that dominated the area, the steel lever alongside them that was in the down, closed position. From his previous jumps, the teenager knew that the lever would open the sex steel shutters and enable him, if he wanted, to go out and explore the rest of the... What was it called again? The word had slipped from his memory.
Redoubt.
He nodded at the recognition. Perhaps it would be much safer to go back into the gateway chamber and simply make another jump. But Michael hated the unpleasant sensation of jumping, with the sickness and the whirlpool sucking at your brain. He put his hand on the cold metal of the lever and gently eased it upward. Michael recalled that JB and Ryan had been careful at times like this. He returned the level to a central position, stopping the sec doors rising. There was a gap of around 10 inches between the floor and the bottom of the doors. Michael knelt, laying his face sideways to peer through the opening.
Nothing.
But there was something. The gap was just wide enough for Michael to push his head a little farther, though the thought of the colossal weight of the sec doors poised above him gave him a moment's hesitation. But the strange noise was definitely coming closer, making him feel oddly uneasy. He wriggled down, giving himself a view of a lot more of the winding passage beyond. To the left, there seemed to be a blank wall, but to the right, he was able to see for 50 or 60 yards. The strip lights in the curved ceiling gave a bright, flat illumination, and the two vid cameras that Michael could spot had both pivoted to point away from him, as though they were reacting to the oncoming noise. It was definitely some living creature, and it was moving fast in his direction, as though it had somehow heard or sensed the opening of the double door. Michael didn't have anything like the survival instincts of the others, or their highly developed awareness of impending danger, but he began to think that whatever he disturbed might not be friendly. Just as he was about to get up, he glimpsed it. For a near-fatal moment, the young man was paralyzed by the sight, unable at first to see quite what it was, and then unable to believe the evidence of his own eyes. It was a kind of lizard, snake-like, with a ruff of spiky fur around its throat and long claws on each of its six legs. The body was about 8 feet in length, colored a dirty white. A long tail whipped back and forth at incredible speed, seeming to help propel it toward Michael. Its eyes were like scarlet golf balls on protruding tubes, and there were at least 8 of them. The head was as pointed as a prairie rattler's, and seemed in that first ghastly glimpse to be almost entirely mouth. Michael had just enough time to see that the creature had several rows of thin, needle teeth hanging over its bleached lips.
Mother of God! Get away!
He scrambled to his knees, heaving himself up by the green lever, inadvertently pulling it downward, setting off the release mechanism that would lock the doors. The gap immediately began to shrink, but with an agonizing slowness that made the youth start to scream. He realized that he should have run for the gateway chamber and slammed the door shut on the horror, and he would have been safe and on his way out of this place. Now, it was too late. The thing was partly under the door, its front legs scrabbling at the floor as it sought to thrust itself all the way through. One of its eyes was knocked off in the struggle, the severed stalk spouting a thick green ichor that stank like the bowels of death itself. Its body was tapered down to a forked tail, and if the mutie was able to wriggle itself more than halfway through, there would be no way to stop it from coming into the control room. In that moment of truly terminal fear, Michael Brothers' training and Dao Ting Do came to his salvation. His right hand flowed to the butt of the gun, drew it, aimed it, and fired. And missed. The small revolver, at point-blank range, kicked upward and surprised Michael, the 38 caliber round hitting the descending vanadium steel doors a handspan above the thing's head, doing it no harm whatsoever. But the thunderous noise in the confined space made it pause in its determined attempt to get at its prey. Pause for only a splintered segment of time, barely even measurable, but long enough. As Michael watched, holding the warm blaster, he saw the thing pinned to the concrete floor by the doors, flattened by it, ripped just behind the elongated skull so that it could move neither backward nor forward. All of the thing's eyes waved like the tentacles of a sea anemone in its death agonies, and then burst one by one, soaking the ruff of pale fur around its crushed throat.
Die, you forsaken mess of blasphemous shit!
Michael was trembling so much that he could hardly slide the gun back into its holster. Now the hundreds of tons of steel were inexorably closer to the floor, pulping the thing. There was just a faint, bubbling sound as the sector ceased moving. While Michael stared at the dead creature, something slithered out of its mouth and began to crawl toward him, leaving a trail of gleaming slime. He realized to his disgust that it was like an embryonic version of its parent, deformed, unfinished, sent before its time. He crushed it under his heel. Michael spun, walked straight to the Matrans unit, and pulled the door smartly shut behind him. He sat down with his arms folded around his knees and tried very hard to stop himself shaking. But the mechanics of the jump were already in operation, and the blackness came first.